epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 15. A couple of words on our worship service. Opening hymn 465, "Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds." Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching. That's on page 260 and following. We'll use the worship insert from this past Sunday. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Scott Schlatter. Scott's funeral service was yesterday here at Good Shepherd. Please keep Deb and the family in your prayers. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Marlene McClellan. Marlene passed away earlier this week. Marlene's funeral service will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock. Saturday at 10 o'clock. It has pleased Almighty God to summon from this veil of tears the soul of Loretta Rivland, longtime member and shut in for the last year or so. Loretta passed away late last night. The service plan is still pending, but more than likely her funeral service will be on Monday. We have a lot of death and mourning that is happening in our congregation right now. I can't think of a better time to have an Easter message, because death, and specifically cancer, does not win and does not have the last word. Jesus lives. The victory's won. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us. We live in a sin-filled world. We live in a veil of tears. And we thank you that you have overcome sin, death, and the grave by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, fill all who are grieving this day with the peace, the hope, the comfort, and the certainty that because Jesus lives, all who cling to Jesus in faith live forever with you. Bless our time together this evening, Lord. May the things that we do and say, may our sacrifice of prayer and praise be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 465.
Thank you. We remain standing for the order of service on 260. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the introit as it's printed on your insert.
God is in his own.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, As to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our gradual.
In God, my heart trusts, and not in health. My heart exalts, and with my song, I give thanks to him. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Please stand for our catechism and prayer on page 264.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, did you see what St. Paul said in our epistle lesson? For I delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received. What things have you received that are important enough to pass on? The list of things that you've received and passed on is very long. When you were a child, your parents held your hands as you waddled around the living room, teaching you how to walk. When you had your own children, you did the same thing for them. When you were a child, your parents held you in their arms and looked you in the eyes and said, "Daddy, Daddy," over and over and over again, until you could finally say the most important name a baby can say, "Daddy." And now, with your own children, what you have received, you now deliver. This idea is also played out across our nation in other ways. We're getting into the fall season again, so you can drive around town and see fathers out in the backyard throwing footballs to their sons, teaching them how to catch it with their hands and not with their face, teaching them how to throw the ball with a tight spiral. These fathers learned it from their fathers, and now they deliver it to their sons. Or in countless classrooms, where teachers pass on the knowledge that they've learned to the next generation. They had gone to school to learn how to add numbers, spell words, compose basic sentences. And now they pass that on. Teachers learned how to solve differentials, what happens within a leaf during photosynthesis, and now they pass that knowledge on. What a teacher had received, they deliver to their students. The same thing happens in your job, too, doesn't it? The foreman who long ago learned how to properly wire an electric outlet teaches it to the brand new electrical worker and checks to make sure everything's right, and if it's not, points out what should be done differently. We recently had a gutter fixed on our house. The young man who has just taken over the business came up with an idea of how to fix it, and his father came up with a different one. The father knew the industry, and what he had received, he was now delivering to his son. It's even in the silly little things, right, that you don't think about. You go to Starbucks, and the experienced barista teaches the new barista how to pour the milk into the coffee so that it forms the shape of a heart on the top. What has been received is delivered onward. It happens all the time, in all sorts of ways. Parent to child, teacher to student, co-worker to co-worker. And so it is that the learning passes on from generation to generation to generation. But the things that we've talked about so far, how important are they in the large scheme of things? I can teach my son how to catch a football, but the chances are he'll never play in the NFL. And even if he does, the career would probably be fairly short, and then what? The child who learns to throw a curveball, maybe he too becomes a pitcher and pitches for a number of years. But then what? The shoulder wears out. The rotator cuff gets torn. Arthritis sets in. And the knowledge that was passed down is no longer any good. The man who learns how to become an accountant from the older accountant one day will retire. The one who learns how to wire an electrical box might one day grow weary of doing so. Perhaps the one that we can relate to most clearly, the student who learns how to solve differentials, will one day have no idea why they've learned it. So much of what we receive and we deliver is meaningless in the end. Because the truth is, hanging out there in the future is death. Don't mean to be depressing about it, but it's there. Look at our church this week. 3 members of our congregation have left this world in the last few days. And when that happens, what good is throwing a curveball, catching a football, adding numbers, or all the rest? Will they give you comfort when the end draws near? Can you look back on that day in high school when you caught the winning touchdown pass and find peace as you draw your last breath? Will you be recalling the multiplication tables before surgery, when you're not sure that you'll make it through? The things that are passed on, received and delivered generation through generation, are those things important? Will they save you? King Solomon answers that question in the book of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless, meaningless, all is vanity, says King Solomon. He talks about how almost everything in our entire lives are meaningless. Homes are built but fall down. Cars are purchased and wear out and break down. Fortunes are gathered together and then squandered. Meaningless. Meaningless. And yet we spend so much time in our lives on these meaningless things. But none of them will save us in the end. No, not any of them. Death comes for us all. So what is it that really is important? What is it that really, truly matters? Where can you find comfort when your end comes? Because it's coming sooner every day, every moment, every breath, every heartbeat. It is coming. Paul answers that question. Listen to what he says. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Did you hear what he said? Of first importance, most important, more important than any other thing. That's what Paul is about to tell you. It's what he has received and is now passing on to you through the Word of God. It's the meaning of life, if you will. Really, the source of life. The thing that will not disappear or fade or fail or wear out or be forgotten or become useless or unimportant. Paul's telling you the one thing that lasts through death and into eternity. What is that one thing? What is of first importance? Hear Paul's words. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That Christ was buried, that on the third day he rose accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. What is of most importance? St. Paul tells you it's Jesus. For you see, though we may love the things that pass away, there's only one thing that lasts forever, and that's Jesus. He took sin upon his own shoulders and killed it on the cross. Even a sin that loves the things of this world more than God, Jesus died for that sin. He killed it, took it away as far as the east is from the west, took it away forever, even from you. And this Jesus, who was crucified, dead, and buried, God raised from the dead. And if you don't believe it, Paul says over 500 people could verify it, many of whom you could still talk to, even though some had fallen asleep, died in the faith, been carried through death and into eternal life. They were witnesses. Could verify the most important thing was really true. Jesus, crucified, risen. That's of first importance. And Paul teaches us that we are to pass it on, to cling to it, to hold fast to it, because it's the one reality that really matters in this world. It's the one thing that overcomes the grave, even for sinners like us. It is this preaching and teaching and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that carries us through the valley of the shadow of death. And so when we hurt the most, when we suffer the most, when we struggle the most, that one hope always remains. And then on your last day, when you lay in the hospital bed with your family gathered around, that's what your pastor will tell you. He won't recall the football game where you caught the pass. He won't talk about your wonderful career and how much money you made or how many electrical boxes you wired. He won't talk about your scouting badges, the way you treated your neighbors, how great of cookies you baked. None of those things will matter. When you lay there, your pastor will speak of Jesus and hope that he brings. He'll declare to you that in Jesus, death will not be your end, that you shall rise again to live forever, perfect, holy, sanctified in the presence of God, no longer separated him by tears and hunger and sorrow and weakness. Your pastor will tell you the truth, that because Jesus lives, you shall live also. That is of first importance. And it will come before work, play, school, sports, rest, leisure, and all the rest. And because of that hope, you will live. What Paul received, he now delivers. And we continue to receive and deliver that same thing. That's why we're here on a Wednesday night. That's what we've been doing for the last few hours with confirmation class, receiving and delivering the most important thing, Jesus. And it doesn't only happen here at church. It happens at home too with parents who pray with their children, who talk about the sermons on the drive home, who teach the faith the very best of their abilities, because it is of first importance. Happens in the workplace with friends, family, co-workers. What we receive, we deliver. The Word of God about Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and that all our life depends on his great mercy and love for us. May that always be of first importance to each one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service with a hymn. We sing hymn 478, The Day of Resurrection, hymn 478.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. May the good news, the peace, the comfort, the joy that comes from knowing Christ is risen for you be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Concludes with the prayers of the church, page 265
and following. Please stand. In addition to the prayer requests that are in our news and notes and our bulletin for this evening, we pray for Tom, friend of Scott and Dee Inninger, diagnosed with a rare blood cancer. And we also pray for friend of Good Shepherd, Harlan Chamberlain, who is back in the hospital. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, and with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, especially for Harlan, Tom, Dennis, and those that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the family of Scott Schlatter, for the family of Marlene McClellan, for the family of Loretta Rivland, for all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, that their peace, their hope, their joy, and their comfort would be in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Almighty and everlasting God,
always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously had me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 475, Good Christian Friends, Rejoice and Sing.
Friends, rejoice and sing.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. I know a lot of places in town have Christmas in July. Well, we get to have Easter in September. Thanks be to God. If you haven't already picked one up, check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes, all the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. We also have some daily devotional books from Higher Things. Encourage you to pick those up. They tie in with our readings each Sunday throughout the week. Bible study in the fellowship hall right now. Lifelight Bible study tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Also, we'll be reminded the funeral service for Marlene McClellan will be Saturday morning here at Good Shepherd at 10 a.m. Saturday at 10 a.m. Funeral service for Loretta Rivland is still pending, more than likely sometime on Monday, and we'll make sure that the congregation is well informed on that. Pastor, anything else? Have a blessed day and week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.